Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Your first great love story is free when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.co.uk/Wondery. That's audible.co.uk/Wondery.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben. Hello, Ben.
How are you?
Welcome to Real Housewives of Orange County Day here on Watch What Crappens. Join us Monday for Amazon Live at 4 p.m. You can find that on Amazon Live, okay? And there will be links on our Instagram at Watch What Crappens. And also, that's it. Oh, also our bonus this week was a Great British Bake Off cast roast, which was really fun. So go check that out. Next week, we're going to cover something totally different. It's going to be super fun. Ben's already picked what it is. I can't wait to do it. It's going to be amazing.
Good one.
Okay? So thanks for being here, everybody. And thanks to Jeff Lewis and his team. We just did their show today at Sirius XM. That was super fun. Thanks to Patreon. Actually, we went to a Patreon mixer last night and saw a bunch of podcasters that we love and adore and had a good time laughing with everybody. Lars from Sup, Matt Marr from Reality Gaze, Malls from Mother May I Sleep with Danger. I mean, so
Courtney from Two Judgy Girls. Docket,
Courtney from Two Judgy Girls, Brandy and Julie from Dumb Gay Politics. Heather McDonald was over there. All kinds of people were over there. So it was good to see everybody. We actually met this guy who was a TikToker and he was so cute and like too young. So I'm not like thirsting over him or anything, but he was young. He was like a twink, but his whole thing was that he's an eater on TikTok. And I've been obsessed with it ever since. Like I looked through his TikTok. I was like, how is this a thing? And when can I start? Like, what the hell? And how have I not met a man who's an eater? I want to meet an eater. That's so hot. Yeah. He just sits there and eats the fucking food on the TikTok. I'm in love with his life.
And wait, how many followers did he have again?
Like 1.5 million people, Ben. Okay.
Watching him eat.
Yes. Wow. I love it. Wow. And he was so sweet.
How privileged were we to be able to sit front row and watch him eat.
We watched him eat.
1.5 million people who are clamoring around their phones and we got to watch him eat a steak right in front of our eyes. He was lovely. We met Sam Sanders, who does actually like a million podcasts like Vibe Check, etc. But he's also on NPR and he's wonderful too. It was so cool. I'd love meeting the fellow podcasters and like chatting with him and having a good time. So yeah, I'm like, if my voice is a little raspy today, it's because there was like a lot of like shout talking happiness, like, oh my God, yes, exactly. And drinking. So I apologize if I sound a little raspy or a little more Countess Luann today.
Oh, well, welcome. Yes,
but that's just how it goes.
Yeah, super fun. So thanks for showing us a good time, fellow podcasters and Patreon. And today we are back with Real Housewives of Orange County, season 19, episode 12. It's called Defense. Defense is the best offense. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's about self-defense, right? So we start actually at the self-defense class. We're going to get some like little clips to whet our appetite for future controversy. And it's Gretchen and Heather and Gina and Shannon. And Gretchen's like, are we ready for some self-defense? How was your guys' trip? And Gina's like, it was fun. And Gretchen's like, really? What'd you guys do? And she's like, we rode these like motorcycles and these like sidecars and I feel mad.
And we see clips of how fun this was with Shannon snot blowing all over everybody, wacky laughing and stuff.
Yeah.
And Gina thinks there was progress made between Tamara and Shannon. Okay. And we see the dinner and there was no progress. Okay.
No progress.
There's no progress. None. Tamara's like, none. You know what? I know it's a difficult conversation, but you know, real friends have conversations. And you know, real friends like me having conversations with real friends like you, with real drunk dads. You know, it's important. It's important that we talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, we see flashbacks to Shannon being, I grew up in a bit of chaos.
Oh, yeah, because your dad drinks. No, Tamara, I know you're trying to help, but that's like too much. It's just, you know what? I cannot do this with you right now, Tamara. I cannot do this.
Jesus Christ, every time I say one thing, you jump down my throat faster than Kettle One jumps down your throat. I'm sick of it, bitch. Watch out, another glass of champagne or alcohol, stupid bitch.
They're like, yeah, they did well. They did well.
Yeah.
Good trip. It was a good trip.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for telling me that. Emily, do you mind telling me how LA was? What was that like for you?
She's like, well, Gretchers. Gretchers.
Which, by the way, Gretchers. Now I officially hate it. Thanks to you.
Oh, I can't stand it every time Gretchers. She says Gretchers. I just can't take it. I can't take it.
I'm going to rip off my face if they say Gretchers one more time.
Gretchers has loose lips when she drinks a lot of Fireball.
What do you mean? What do you mean by loose lips? Was she talking about me, Beth?
And of course, she was. Gretchen was saying,
I have audio of her trying to sing in the studio, and it was not very good.
Gretchen, have you heard yourself? I'm not saying that Tamara sounded good, but you are throwing, you know, water balloons in a carnival. That didn't make much sense. Don't like you.
You're throwing, that sounds
you're
nice.
Throwing. No, it actually sounded fine.
That sounds endearing.
I just don't throw rocks when you live in a glass house. I mean, I get what it means. It just sounds so painful because I like throwing rocks. I don't care if I live in a glass house. I don't want to be covered in gashes.
You really shouldn't throw anything if you're living in a glass house. I just want to put that out
literally
there right
nothing.
Now.
Well, a water balloon.
Anything.
I guess.
Why are you throwing anything in any sort of house? Don't. If you're in a house, don't throw anything. It's still a house. Okay. You can mess up a wall. Just stop throwing things. Okay. Don't throw pearl necklaces when you live in a, blonde house. It doesn't make sense either.
No, none of it makes sense. You're hack and you're a terrible singer. So please stop with your voice judging. Okay. That's the point.
I have to say, for those of us who are lucky enough to have heard that recording of Tamara that, of course, resurfaced over the past week, it's sort of been in my head. Like, the recording is, the recording is like 30 seconds, but like her actual singing is maybe literally two seconds. And all she does, let me see if I have access to my falsetto today, but all she does is go, celebrate Noe. That's it.
Yeah.
And I have that like little refrain in my head all week long. Celebrate no hate.
Celebrate the hate. Celebrate the hate.
Yeah. It was just a tiny little snippet. So so Gretchers showed it. And so then we see the clip of Slade being like, well, actually the two of them started messing around and they forgot they were recording. The guy from Nelson, both of the brothers from Nelson, she was banging them both while they were singing a song about no hate. And Emily's like, wait, there's audio of them having sex. So we see that whole clip. And then Tamara hears all this and she's like, what?
Wow, bitch. Wow, really?
Just doing that like thing where she makes blow lips and she's just like,
yeah.
Really, bitch?
The old sucking on the invisible straw face. So yeah. Then we see like stuff that we're going to get to anyway, but it's basically like, and then not too long afterwards, fighting. So now 48 hours earlier and Shannon's at her house.
She's talking to Archie. Oh my God. Hey Archie, I'm going to call Sophie on the phone. Oh, and you want to call Sophie right now, Archie? You want to do that, Archie? Archie, you're not still drunk from that walk late at night, are you? Come on, Archie, we're going to call Sophie.
So she does. And Sophie has, I'm assuming, a new gay friend in her apartment building, because I don't know anybody else who would talk to a mom like this. No. But Shannon's like, oh, wow, Andrew. Thank you, because when Sophie called me and said she wanted to come home, she was at your place, and I just love that you live in the same building, and you watch out for her. And he's like, oh, yeah, I also brought the goods for us, wine, candy, and magnums. I was like,
Wow. I'm hoping that you're discussing the chocolate-covered ice cream treat that you can get in a freezer section. Please tell me that's what you're saying.
Please say it's the Blu-ray of Magnum P.I., because that was one handsome man. If anybody can get over heartbreak, it's with that one. Ooh, that mustache.
I tell my lady friends.
Do not talk about penises with my daughter, you heathen. Okay, good to call. Good to talk to you.
Oh, God. Oh, Magnum P.I. I tell you, Friday nights, 8 p.m. 1 hour, do not disturb, because Tom Selleck is on my TV, and I am wearing my Blue Bloods t-shirt. Okay. Woo-hoo.
So then we go to Britt's house. Gina is coloring her kid's hair with Britt in the kitchen, who's just basically Kelly Dodd. It's like she's a Kelly Dodd with, like, downers, like the crazy pills or whatever. So they're dyeing the kid's hair, and they actually bleach it blonde. And she's like, oh, my God, you look just like your mommy. He's blonde just like his mommy. And now we just need to get you a dryer scalp.
Yeah. And then we go to Heather, and she is FaceTiming with her daughter on FaceTime. She's like, hello, are you excited to be wrapping up your tour of duty in Paris? She's like, yeah, I just don't want to leave. And she's like, oh, really? You don't want to leave? And she's like, you want to see Vincent the cat? She's like, yes, please show me Vincent. Grandma's on the phone. Grandma, you know what's so funny? I remember one time we put Wendy Malick on FaceTime for Vincent, and that cat crawled up to the ceiling. Oh, God, good memories.
I've never had a cat ask me to be put down before. So then we go over to Emily's house, and her daughter Annabelle's painting her nails. And she's like, I'm going to show you how some of this works, because you're like a little DeLulu, Mom. You're DeLulu. You don't understand nails. DeLulu. I'm going to get you some bussin' nails, Mom. Bussin'.
She's like, yeah, Mom. You know what? You used to get like really dark red, right? Isn't that what you used to put on?
Yeah, it's called hooker red.
Yeah, I bet you used to be one.
Oh, stop. You don't even know what that means. Oh.
She's like, yeah, I do. That's when you hook up with men. I mean, you know, she's close. And Emily's like, I've been with your father for 16 years. All right. And Annabelle's like, yeah, but what was before that? And Emily just makes a look at the camera like, oh. Yeah, no kidding. My before taste level was there.
Before that was aspirations. And then Shane.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
So then we go to Jen's house, and Ryan comes in totally just casual, not ready for TV at all. He's got like blinding teeth and like perfect hair. He's like, hello, it's me, Ryan. Hi. I thought we said we weren't going to get stressed over this wedding. Wink. Don't marry this man. I'm telling you right now, do not marry this man. This man's going to cheat on you. This man's going to take all your money. Nothing good's going on with this man.
We all can see it coming.
It's obvious. It's blinding. It's as blinding as those teethers. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, well, I'm just like going back and forth. Like, do you feel like we should maybe do the September wedding instead? I don't know. What do you think? Still waiting out, holding out for that offer from Bravo. He's like, listen, I think that sometimes you just need to like put a flag in the ground, right? Put a boner in the jeans. Okay. We're just going to do it in September. And we're just going to stop waffling. Oh my God. Waffling. I didn't even know that was part of the buffet. Oh, I have to go back to the wedding planner now.
I can't have waffles as part of the buffet. They're going to have fatty photos of me. You know how these girls are.
I thought we left waffling in the past.
Yeah. She's like, well, I just got so freaked out because Dawson's moving. He's going into the Marines. And I just was starting to put every wheel in motion and get everything planned. And then boom, my son's going into the Marines. What does that have to do with anything? Just have your wedding. It's a bikini wedding. It doesn't take that much planning. I mean, what are you getting? Some sandwich trays from Ralph's? Married, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I guess her reasoning is that she was like thinking about moving up the wedding so that way Dawson could go before he goes to the Marines. Are you not allowed to go to your mom's wedding if you're in the Marines? Do they not give exemptions for that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. That's family values.
Have you not watched that show with Teresa Giudice that's on right now? You would know.
Special Forces.
Special Forces Unit.
Yeah. How about special exemptions? For special occasions. For special
my mom's forces. Getting married in a bikini this weekend. Can I go? I'm going to be like, no.
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 It's like, we have to do things other than you going to a bikini wedding. Yeah. So she is like, she's like, well, I just kind of had this freak out moment. You know, I was like, oh my God, I'm marrying a guy who has paint splatter on his denim. And I'm just like still having them. And then I realized, Dawson's doing this, and then we're going to get married, and then we'll get married, and then we'll work around that when Dawson's home. And I'm just like, I guess this was a flashback when she was talking to Gina, and Gina's like, you know, why are you putting that pressure on yourself? So I guess that helped Jen snap out of this and not freaking out so much about this wedding planning. This is the most low-key Housewives wedding planning we've ever seen, by the way. There's like this casual, kind of like a wedding thing happening in the background of the season, and like no one cares about it. It's like barely even registering on any of our radars.
Yeah, just go back to your roots. Get married in a parking lot and call it a day. That's what I say. Just wear some flip-flops and a bikini. Get it done.
Yeah, last time she went back to her roots, she wound up putting my hair in her hair. I got married on TV, and now she's getting married on TV. Oh, really, bitch? Really? I wore a bikini last summer. Now she wants to wear a bikini. Oh, my God. Single by female.
Yeah, so she's, like, freaking out about this wedding that nobody cares about. And I just, like, her whole attitude is, like, this is really, really hard on the kids. Seeing me marry somebody that's not their father. So I want to make sure they're all there to watch it.
It's like, I know.
Let Dawson take a break, okay? He actually has an excuse not to be there. Let the man live, okay? None of you signed his damn loan for that kid to go to college. So just leave him alone. Let him go live his life.
You know, my first wedding was so wah, wah, wah. You know, violins and orchestra and sit-down dinner and food and past apps and, you know, wedding band and music and people having fun and a photographer. And I just want the complete opposite of that. I want us to sit in chairs that are sinking into the mud and no one's even playing any music. It's just going to be great. A great rebellion. I'm like, that first wedding sounded okay. But basically she's like, I want to get onto a boat. We're going to drink Malibu and party all day long. We're just going to have a big old trashy boat, fun boat time. And that's it.
Yeah. So then we, why are we still in the scene?
It goes on for a very long time.
It's still going on. I thought it ended 2 pages ago. So now we're talking about, Temecula, and, she's like, well, the house was insane. And Tamara just kept saying, you should get married here. And I'm not going to lie. There was a part of me that was like, this could be easy. Tamara's already booked it. Now I can book it. It'll be my place.
It's a trap. It's a trap because Tamara will be like,
oh, all of a sudden she like is having like a wedding at the place that I said she should have a wedding with. Why is she copycatting all the things I tell her to do?
You know, it's like I would not touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Now she's having a wedding in the house that I found. The house that I found.
What's she going to do next? Have a motorcycle and a sidecar, bitch?
So she's talking about having dinner and then how things went south with Shannon and Tamara. And on the way home, Shannon didn't say one word. Shannon, you stop being so fucking miserable. Like, honestly, you're on a TV show. If you don't want to hang out, I don't blame you for not wanting to be around Tamara, but your misery level, listen, and I love Shannon's misery. It's not like Shannon's never been miserable. That's Shannon's point, is being miserable. Like, I get, she's fulfilling her role on the show, but it's like 90% of the time now. It needs to be like 40% of the time. We need the good times mixed in with the bad times. Right now, she's just ratchet. Ratchet. There I said it. Or what, are you going to cancel me now? Ratchet.
You know, when I gave her that word. I did enjoy the flashback of them driving in Tamara's trash mobile and Shannon just looking out the window like, I am so angry. I'm so angry. I can do nothing but look at the beautiful scenery of Carl's Jr.'s and McDonald's going by as we drive back from Temecula to Orange County. I am just livid right now. And everyone will see it because I'm looking out a window.
I am extremely upset and I will not even share with you people the avocado mountain story. You told us that one already, Jen. Damn it! Fine.
Oh, okay. Well, we just drove by and Annie says, I guess we're not going to stop by and look for fashions there. That's fine. We don't have to go there. Don't listen to me.
So Ryan's like, you know, I actually give Shannon a lot of credit because she's got her own boundaries, you know, and she's like, I tried and now I'm out, you know, and that's just how it is. Also, I hate Tamara's guts, so I'll support anything that Shannon does.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Speaking of, let's go to Tamara's where look who's back home. It's Eddie. It's Eddie, guys. Yeah. Eddie back from Big Bear, where he's been hiding out all season. Here he is.
Yeah. He has come in and he said, you know what, America? It's time to change things around. this time you're going to get some charisma out of me. Just kidding. He left the charisma in Big Bear again. So now he's talking to the dog and he's like, you poop more than any dog I've ever met.
Yeah, Eddie, that was a good one. Here, here's some watermelon.
Wow. Very Martha Stewart of you. Okay, just because you serve something on a platter does not make you Martha Stewart. Come on, Eddie.
Well, I don't got anything to do, so I'm going to take Sophia to the Music Institute in Hollywood.
Which I love because that was a scene that we saw of Lisa Vanderpump taking Max to Hollywood to the music school and mm-hmm. acting like it was like, I don't know, what's a war-torn country right now? Insert war-torn country here. He's like, oh, yeah. Darling, I can't do it. Please, armor the car. Who are these people standing around on the street without showers?
Yeah, she really, like, she was acting horrified. She did look like she had, like, walked into Ukraine. She was like, she's like, oh, watch out for Putin. And she's just walking down Hollywood Boulevard. That was amazing. It was really, truly like the scene in Big Business where the limo or the taxi cab drops them off like in the middle of the Bronx and Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin have to like walk to the subway and they're like, what do we do? So Tamara is, she's talking. We have a flashback of her talking to Sophia, who is like ready to go up to LA and like, you know, advance her music career. God bless. This is the right move for this poor girl. Get out of there. And Tamara's like, it's going to be a sad day when Sophia moves out of the house, but then I'll be the hottest one in the house again, bitch. So she's my last one at home. But I want her to experience going to college, making those friendships, going out, having fun, coming home late, doing things I wasn't able to do. Afternoon snacks, late night snacks, going to Starbucks, waking up in the morning. I'm like, these are such basic things. Like, I want her to go outside. I want her to make friends. Poor Tamara. She's really been deprived of some real building blocks of just living.
I mean, I get the college part, but she's like,
yeah, making friendships, going out, having fun, coming home late. You know, stuff I wasn't able to do.
Tamara, we've watched you going out, having friends, ruining friends, coming home late. And you've done all that. What are you talking about?
Tamara.
But I get what she's saying. You know, how can you have Ryan at such a young age and now be at this age and look at what Ryan has become and not feel like,
God damn it, I could have gone to music school. What the hell? I'm wasting my time.
We've been watching this show for about 19 years now. And every time we see one of these housewives' children preparing to spread their wings, I think we're all just kind of like, do it. Get out while you can. Don't be an OC like angel.
Run like, change your name. You could be the one. Burn your fingerprints off. You know, just get the hell out of here.
Especially this girl. She's so sweet and she's like an artist and she's like edgy and she sort of has like a Joan Jett kind of hairstyle. I'm like, you should not be in Orange County. This is not your place. Go to Hollywood. Go to Silver Lake. Find the hipsters. Be with the artists. Do not stay here in like Costa Mesa or San Juan Capistrano. This is not like Dana Point is not for you, Sophia. Please go. Find your path.
Yeah. So Tamara's like,
you know, Shannon was miserable on that trip. Just fucking miserable. Yeah. And you shared with me that your dad had a drinking problem. You know what? So I said, maybe your dad has a drinking problem. And she's like, how dare you? I mean, I just can't say anything about you. You just can't call anybody an alcoholic anymore. I can't do this with this woman anymore. I'm too hot for this.
And Eddie's like, well, until somebody is ready to help themselves, you can't help them, right, Martha Stewart?
Yeah, that is good. Huh. Yeah, she was opening up. She was talking about the difficulties she had growing up and the problems she had with her dad. And I was just trying to add to that conversation and not call her out or anything. I wasn't trying to call her out. I was just trying to remind her that her alcoholic bloodline has a 0.10 BAC level. That's it.
Yeah, you know, she got mad at me for calling her dad an alcoholic because I said the dad's an alcoholic, you know, because the dad, he's an alcoholic. I hope she doesn't get mad that I'm saying the dad's an alcoholic so many times in a row.
You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, especially if it lands in an apple martini glass, you know what I'm saying?
So she's pulling her whole like,
I just don't know why she's so mad at me. I was just trying to help. I didn't think it was such a big secret.
And then we cut to Shannon. She's like, oh, I, I, I,
I wish that I could believe that Tamara had only good intentions, but I know her. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I will start a show called Tres Amigas with you. Fool me three times, I will scream at you until you try to have me thrown into a mental hospital. Screw me four times, you're not
going to make you. I'm going to make you salmon with cookies on the inside. Well,
stuff a salmon with cream cheese and serve it to you before I yell at you.
Fool me five times, I will have you go move to New York and give my daughter magnums. fool me six times, I will go to a Lucille Roberts and I will complain to the manager.
She has crossed the line with me. I will never be friends with this. Hold on, Tamara's calling. Hello, I will meet you at lunch. Can't wait to see you. Love you too. Okay.
Wait a second. That was a robocall. Okay, well, fool me seven times, and I will not answer the phone any longer. Well, she's calling back. Hold on one second. Okay. Oh, it's another robocall. Okay, well.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to move forward with bitching to you, but that's just a whole different circumstance because this girl's attacked me for 12 years.
This reframing of Tamara this episode cracked me up. The way she has turned the tables and made herself her own victim, where she's like saying that Gretchen's been attacking her for 12 years. She's been attacking me. We have been watching. We will always remember that reunion. We will remember Naked Wasted. We will remember the reunion. We will remember.
Did you go to Bass Lake?
I mean, you have been coming for Gretchen all this time. And at this point, if Gretchen comes for you, it's just like, it's kind of like earned retaliation in my mind at this point.
Yeah, it's just Tamara. She's so good at reframing everything because she knows they can only show so many clips, right? So, and the proof of Gretchen coming for her is 2017 at dinner. So,
do you know if Eddie's gay or not?
And one of the guys saying, I saw him making out with a guy. Dun, dun, dun. So Eddie is like, yeah, you're talking to Gretchen? Why would you talk to Gretchen? And now let's go over to Gretchen's house.
Yeah. Skylar Gray, isn't that sort of like naming your kid Gray Skies? I don't know. Well, they'll clear up. So then the doorbell rings and
it's actually two brands of vodka in one. You've got Sky and Grey Goose. I'm not really sure if you want me to drink your baby.
Do you want me to drink your baby?
Well, there is a rumor that she was conceived while they were listening to the Mr. Belvedere theme songs. Well, that's hitting three for three.
So, that's as far as I can get with my vodka jokes.
Run, so Tito, run!
Sorry, that's gun smoke.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I love that there's a lady who arrives to pick up Skylar Gray to take her to school or as a nanny or something. Her name is Miss Aaliyah, and she is basically like the nanny from Muppet Babies because we don't see her. We just hear Gretchen.
I don't even believe it was anybody there. I think it was just a Facebook filter or it was an Instagram filter that came to pick that kid up because Gretchen's like, protect your skin. She's just like, take this filter with you. Wear it everywhere you go.
Miss Aaliyah is here for you. Go away with Miss Aaliyah.
Miss Aaliyah's like, I will not be seen on camera with this lady. I will not.
Gretchen's like, are you sure you don't want to put some pearls in your ear?
She's like, no, just give me the child.
It's like, I don't want to come anywhere near you where you're going to try and erase my face again. Do you remember when she was, when she first had her kid and she was like face tuning the baby on Instagram and people were having a fit?
Yes.
Like, you don't FaceTune a baby. What is wrong with you? Gretchen, she's got an obsession. She can't stop erasing everyone's face.
She loves. She just is like, listen, no one is opposed to FaceTuning. It's a fun little thing to do. But Gretchen just like puts it on max and then goes back and like it's locked in and she FaceTunes it again. So that way it's like FaceTune on the FaceTune. And then like pretty much like half the people on her Instagram look like that Jesus like adjustment that little old lady did in Spain, you know, it's just like a gradient. Everyone just has gradient faces.
It's just a
gradient with eyes.
Yeah.
She's like, but I don't want my baby to look old.
Like, it's your baby's one. Would you stop face tuning the baby? Okay. Everyone thinks you've given birth to a pencil eraser.
So
a pencil eraser with a bow in its hair and a crucifix around its neck. You know, come on, Jesus. Give the baby a break.
So Gretchen is now that the child has disappeared into the ether. Gretchen is like,
I was so tired last night. I went to sleep and I felt like I didn't get to fill you in. We were all having fun and being silly and letting loose, and somehow my music got brought up and it made me think about when Tamara went out to the press and was talking shit.
Tamara Barney says no housewife should sing. Defies her own Bravo job description. That's the headline we see. And Slade's like, oh, so you talked about her music career? She goes,
yeah, about the music. And so that threat's coming from Tamara talking shit about housewives trying to sing. She's in the freaking studio trying to sing, and she's sounding like a drowned rat.
I like that she just keeps saying that. No one's told her that that's not what a drowned rat is. So you look like a drowned rat. You don't sing like a drowned rat. Maybe you sing like a rat that's like stuck in a door. I don't know.
Also, the rat's drowned. It's not singing. Need to break it to you. There's no noise coming out of that rat.
Exactly.
Also, to be fair, when Gretchen says that's rich coming from Tamara, like, see, you're lying again on camera. Nothing rich comes from Tamara. She's not a rich housewife.
So they ask her if she's heard Tamara's singing voice. She goes,
yeah, it was not great, but that's okay because she gets an A forever.
Gretchen, we've heard you sing. I mean, I can't stress this enough. Just you're not, don't bring up anyone singing. And especially your own. Please don't bring up that you're, no one needs this. So Slade's like, oh yeah. So he's like, oh yeah, the song she did in that studio where she fucked Nelson. Yeah, I remember. Like, Slade doesn't know this conversation's coming up. We saw you guys on the phone two nights ago talking about this whole thing. Slade's like, you guys talked about this? So bad at this. By the way, have you seen Slade's website, his production website? Someone posted it on Reddit. It's like, this production company, it's all the people on it except for him are from AI. They're like people that you can search the pictures and they show up from like, you know, image sites where you can pick images and pay for them. And then the credits, he's like, yeah, we've produced Real Housewives of Orange County and Marriage Boot Camp. You have not produced them. You've been an under five on these shows, sir. Or like a one season wonder on these shows. You're not a producer. It's so crazy.
You are below the line. Yeah. So Gretchen is like,
yeah, well, I was trying to talk about the music. So the fact that you brought up the part that we told you to bring up, God, that really frustrated me. I'm like legitimately like mad that you brought it up.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I apologize. It wasn't my intent to cause conflict by saying on camera that Tamara was boning a member of a boy band, possibly Nelson, possibly another one. And the fact is that she's the one that did it. So sorry. Like, you are such a fucker. Don't make us stand up for Tamara on this one, but you're being a real piece of shit as usual, Slade.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and Gretchen can't last on this show because she's going to get fired for the same reason she got fired before. Slade. Who wants to fucking work with Slade? Trying to be a housewife over there, starting fights with housewives, saying vile things about, like, we're not here for this, Slade. Okay, we're not here for you. Go away and take your eraser face with you, please.
Yeah, and Gretchen tells us, you know, Slade, you know his shenanigans, shout out Sheena, shenanigans. He always goes more than what he needs to talk about. And then we see a footage of Slade saying that Tamara looks like the Michelin man, you know, on his stand up. I'm like, Gretchen, you married this man. Like, why is this not a deal breaker for you? I'm sorry. I think this is a deal breaker. I think this is actually like he's a piece of shit. And you can't just be like, oh, he just always goes a little bit too far. No, that's terrible because Tamara goes too far too. And look what your thoughts are on Tamara going too far. But then you're willing to also just like bring this man into your life.
Well, that's why she likes him, because she uses him as her batting ram. You know, she's going just as far as he is. She just likes it. So she's like, she can send Slade out to do all her dirty work and spread all the shit like she has all season, and then be like, oh, Slade. Then she can blame him and look like, oh, you know, man.
You know, Gretchen has the ability to be like a really, like a really good Real Housewife. She really does. You know, when she first burst on the scene, she was great. I was such a big fan of hers. She came back on this season. I was like, wow, Gretchen is killing it. And in all cases, she starts to curdle because of Slade. And it's just, it's unfortunate because I hate seeing Raw Housewives talent not being used to its fullest. And Slade is just always going to be the metal ball that will drag her down. It's a shame.
Yeah. So she's like, that guy's in the doghouse right now for sure. So she wants to move forward, but you know, everything's going to remind her of something Tamara's done to her in the past. And Slade's like, well, I'm not giving you advice because I'm bitter as hell over all that stuff. But, you know, I'm trying to be a better person. I don't even know that she's trying, but look at me. At least I'm trying. Just, you know, spreading roofie rumors and.
Yeah.
Like, you're really trying, Slade. Okay. So then back in Tamara's yard, Eddie says, yeah, you know, Gretchen, I don't think she's even a good person. I mean, Shannon's harmless, you know, unless you're a house that's in the way. And she's just very into herself. You know, she's not malicious. She's just wacky. I'm okay with her. But Gretchen, I think Gretchen's evil. Okay. You're kind of invalid, though, because you're married to Tamara.
Yeah. Gretchen's not evil. I'm sorry. She's not evil.
Don't throw dumpsters when you live in a possum house.
He's like, she was calling me gay. She is the epitome of evil. Ugh, who would even say such a thing? I'm like, you should be so lucky, Eddie.
No kidding. It's a compliment.
You could use it. You could use some gay in you.
Yeah. So Slade's like, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube after all the stuff she said about me and Ryan. It doesn't get taken away. Like, how does a person like that have an authentic relationship with anyone?
Well, that's actually fair. So Gretchen's like,
well, I do think that they've already realized it. For instance, even with Emily yesterday, she has a whole thing where she's saying to me about Tamara that she doesn't like Tamara. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. That's a flashback sound.
Well, I wouldn't trust Tamara because, like, do I want to hand over information that's sensitive or personal and then one day she pulls it out and throws it back at me? No, thank you. Do I want to pull out this turkey sandwich from my purse and share it with Tamara? No, I don't. Will I eat this turkey sandwich right now to remind America that I'm a wacky person? I will. It's from my purse.
I love Emily saying she doesn't want to hand over information that's sensitive or personal because it might get thrown back at her, which is what Emily does every single episode of this show.
Literally. Everyone else. That's all Emily does is take everyone's sensitive information and explode it in their face over and over again.
And she also cons people into thinking that she's on their side. Like, for instance, right here, when Emily says that she wouldn't trust Tamara, but then immediately, and she's going to curry some favor with Gretchen and build a bond, and Gretchen will sort of like do some light confiding, and then Emily will go and run to Tamara and then explode it all up.
It's one thing that's always made me crazy about Emily is she can't even play a long game. You know what I mean? Like a good, talented Real Housewife would do what she's doing in a more subtle way and just build a case and keep it going. But it's like 5 seconds later, she's like, oh, so you don't like Tamara either?
No, she doesn't like you, Tamara. Okay, so you have a recording? Okay, and this happened to the recording. Tamara, she has a recording.
Like, oh my God, your season would actually be much more entertaining if you weren't blowing your load every fucking episode, you know? So yeah. Impatient.
Yeah, and yet she's going to railroad Katie off for being, you know, shady when Emily is doing all this bullshit every single episode in an uninteresting way. And then they're all dumb and they fall for it. And it's like, she's so transparent. It's just all these people.
Yeah, and now look what happens. She doesn't have Katie to bully and mess with anymore. So now they're going to turn on Gretchen, which I don't like Gretchen, so I'm fine with it. But it does show that she's just going to try and ruin whoever else is next, you know? Mm-hmm. Lame Emily. Bad work. Lazy work. Lazy housewifery.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
It's time for us as Bravo viewers to take some stock about some things, which is that Emily and Gina have been on Bravo for about 7 or 8 years now. And they still have yet to have a single iconic moment, line, gif, incident, anything. There's not a clip. There's not a, you can't be stupid and smart. You know, there's not a, you stole my goddamn house. Like there's like nothing.
Well, there's how like turkey sandwich. That is
no, turkey sandwich. No, I mean, that's not even really that much of a thing. Like, it was like in that season, it was sort of a thing, but you know, like all these years later, and like the truth is everyone has said like Gina is actually awesome. Like that everyone who's worked with Gina said like, she's kind of the best. And I have to imagine maybe that's why they come back, because maybe Bravo really likes working with them. And I have no doubts that they are probably like cool people. But the truth is, we've been watching these people, and some seasons they're better than others. Sometimes we're like, you know what? They actually are. They're doing their job. They're stirring the pot. Why are we always so shitty to them? But I think the issue is that even with the stirring the pot, even with doing the things they're supposed to be doing, we're this deep in and there's still nothing for us to grasp onto as fans. It just is like, it's just a big groan. And so now here's Emily doing her shit again. And we're going to the patterns again.
Here's how I judge how successful a Real Housewife is. That's why I was looking at my phone in case anybody's thinking I'm just over here texting while Ben's talking. I was looking this up. I like to go, you know, when you send a text and you can send a GIF or whatever, like the images section. So I'm showing it to people on demand right now. So that's what I do. I type in Real Housewives of Orange County. Kelly Dodd is first, just making like a little movement. It's like a movement get thing, no words. And then we have Tamara's That's My Opinion. Then we have Tamara's God, I Hate Her. Then we have the messy gay that's with Gina Keough throwing a wine glass at
for him, Tamara, getting it there,
screaming, that's why you're getting a divorce. And then we have Vicky's Whoop It Up. And then we have Shannon screaming something. We have Gretchen, who's like, we might as well throw jello shots into it. We have a couple of Heathers. Another Heather, some Vicky, some Tamara. We even have a Megan King Edmonds in here.
Megan King Edmonds had moments.
We even have the swimsuit designer, Lizzie, saying something.
Lizzie has.
We have another Kelly Dodd. There is not an Emily or Gina in this entire thing after 8 years. I mean,
after 8 years.
Even that boring lady, what's her name?
Peggy Tennis.
Peggy? I got to be more specific on this show, right?
Bronwyn?
Lydia.
Lydia.
Even
like
Lydia has
like
a couple.
Yeah, I mean, like you can say, oh, remember the time when Megan King Edmonds was just like tenacious against Vicky? Remember the time when so-and-so did this? Remember when Heather like sat down Shannon and like read her for filth, or like yelled at Taylor about IMDb. Like they're like little snippets that we grasp onto. But like with Gina and Emily, we're looking back.
Nada.
There's nothing.
But
there's those special moments. Like if you're doing a top 100 moments of all time with Real Housewives, what moment are you putting in for Emily and Gina? I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm just building a case of like, I think it's time. I think their time has come.
Axe them. Get rid of them.
It's over. So
Gretchen's like, yeah, I mean, she's literally pushing, being part of like trying to hear the song, which is going to make her friends sound bad. So she doesn't like Tamara either because she wanted me to play the song. Gretchen, you brought up the song. Of course, they're going to want to hear the song. You can't make them sound like bad friends just for wanting to hear the song.
Yeah.
Messy. So she's like, yeah, I'm like, was I proud of the fact that it even got to that? No, but my heart and soul was telling me like, I don't want to be a mean girl. That's not my intent. That's why I called you to be mean. So I didn't have to be mean. Why were you mean? That was so mean of you to be mean. I'm so mad at you in the doghouse.
Here's the thing, Gretchen, you could have been messy and you could have been like, oh, well, you know, Tamara tried to sing, and you could have literally just left it at that. It would have been funny and try to, but you said, yeah, remember when she was having the affair with Nelson? It's like you can't act like I was trying so hard not to be a mean girl. When you added you didn't add flames to the fire. You didn't add like oil to gas to the fire. You provided the matches, you provided the gas, you provided the little drum that the fire is in, you provide the logs. You provided everything for the fire. You were the fire. Don't act like you were like held against your will to become a mean girl.
Yeah. So now we go to Tamara with her daughter walking down the glamorous Hollywood Boulevard. And they're naming stars. They're looking at stars. And Tamara, they just don't know anybody. Tamara's like,
who's Patty Page? Sounds like a bitch. Who's Bob Hope? That's a stupid name. Fred Astaire? What the heck? Okay, here we are at the Music Institute. After walking down a whole street of no names. Losers! You're a bunch of losers, okay? They should have poop emojis instead of stars, bunch of poopoos. Stupid. No one's a star here.
So they go in and Sophia meets with the guy in there and he gives like a tour and Tamara's talking about how, you know, she's like,
oh yeah, she makes her own music now. She can probably tell you better than me. I'm just the hot one who's here for the ride.
And they just go on a little tour and it's like, it's cute. It's nice. I'm actually happy for Sophia. And there are definitely flashbacks in our minds to, Max, Todd, etc. And we go through all these facilities. And the funny part was at one point, she's talking about what kind of she's saying Sophia's talking about the music, like her inspirations, and she's like, I really like Alice Glass at Crystal Castles and like trip hop stuff like Massive Attack and LTP is pretty cool. And she's like,
what? Lisa Vanderpump?
Which is a fun, neat little callback to the original scene.
So Sophia's like, yeah, my name is Ugly Angel. That's my artist name. And Tamara's like,
Ugly Angel. So stupid.
And he's like, yeah, that's edgy. That's edgy. And for paying tuition, I'll pretend that that's a good choice. She's like, yeah, I'm really inspired by people. So they, you know, they look at the tour and the facility and stuff. And then it's time for them to talk. You know, so Paul has to leave. And yeah. Tamara's like, are you up for this? Because whatever enrollment methods we should get you in here, are you going to drive? Or are you going to move here? You want to move here? You should move here. You should move here. Ron lives right on the corner. He's right out there right now shaking some change in the can. Come on, go live with Ryan. You're going to love it.
She's like, well, you know, I just feel so much more confident about this now because I don't want to be stagnant, you know? I mean, look at you, mother. Like,
hey, bitch.
Yeah, but that's... That's the last thing I want to be. But like, sometimes I'm like, okay with being on my own now, you know? Mm-hmm. So Tamara wants to cry, of course. She's like,
I want to cry.
And Sophia's like, dude, you cry at everything. It's like actually absurd how often you're crying, mom. Like, I appreciate your support, but like, enough with the tears, okay?
I love you, Sydney. I just want to say, Sydney, you're doing the best job and I've done the best job raising you. And no one named Sydney is ever going to call me a bad mother again.
My name's Sophia.
Shut up. Shut up, just shut up. Just go with it. Roll with it. You know, when I was 20 years old, my dream was to go to the Fashion Institute, you know? I wanted to do some fashion, believe it or not.
That is hard to believe. Mother,
it really is. It really is. You would think that you would have read something about fashion before ever going to do that. I mean, so you wanted to go to the Fashion Institute and now you just defile it every day of your life?
I was to get every girl in North America shoulder pads and cutouts. I always wanted to bring those kinds of shirts that are just two pieces of cloth under your armpits that you pull towards the middle of your chest and then you tie off with a giant brass door knocker. Always wanted to bring those to the masses. If I had my way, every girl and every woman in America would have gumdrop hair. But alas, I never got to do it. I got tied at home with the baby. And that was just a different life for me. Just a different, different life with a horrible, horrible little baby.
And she's like, Mom, you're probably my biggest fan. Like, you've been so supportive. I'm so grateful.
And what's your name?
Sydney.
Okay, good job. I'll pay for it. Okay, good job.
So then we go to a med lounge, and Jen is going to get a facial with her daughter, Everly.
Everly. This sweet girl, Everly, she's like way too normal to be on the show. I mean, this is what always happens on Orange County. Well, I shouldn't say Orange County actually has some, I would not say its track record with like super chill, normal kids is great. But this is something on Housewives that we see a lot is just like these really lovely kids. And you're like, why are they being dragged into this? So they go and they get facials. And this is Everly's first ever facial. It's a big moment for her. You know, like I know like in my religion, when you turn 13, you have like a bar bat mitzvah and you become an adult. And I know in like blonde religion, when you get your first facial, you become an adult. So I'm just like so proud of this sweet person.
Blonde religion. Yeah, so they do that and they talk about boys and she's going to high school and she wants a boyfriend. Mom, you had a boyfriend in high school. She's like, yeah, but like when I was young, that's what everybody did. But, you know, you're supposed to be at home, you know, doing dances with your elbows on the internet. Isn't that what kids do now? She's like, no, I want a boyfriend. So they have like good, cute, small talk, but then it moves on to marrying Ryan. Dun, dun, dun. And she's like, so, you know, when you get married, typically you have your best friend stand with you. And, you know, Tamara's accusing me of being a stalker right now. And as I'm going to probably wear the bikini she wore last weekend on our trip, I don't think it would be appropriate to ask her. So I wanted to tell you, you're my best friend. Would you like to stand for me at my wedding? And she's like, I mean, I've never even been to a wedding, Mom. And my first wedding will be standing. She's like, is it weird me being married to Jack Tripper's neighbor instead of your dad? And she's like, not really. I'm really happy for you, Mom. She's like, okay, well, are you sure you weren't? She's like, please don't marry him. Please don't marry that man. Please don't marry that. He wears Hello Kitty jogging suits. Please.
And I love that, like, we see that the two of them are doing, like, this joint confessionals, and Jen is like, you know, and Everly's like sitting there like crying, and Jen's like, I mean, Will and I, we were a really good family, and when that splits and that goes away, I mean, there's just no relationship anymore. I mean, it's truly like mourning. I mean, obviously, look at this one, just sobbing. Look at this, what a mess. Look at my daughter, isn't she so sweet? What a mess. Look at her. Obviously, look. She keeps on doing this. She keeps like pointing to her daughter, like, I mean, look, am I right? Look, she's a mess. My daughter,
it's like mourning a death. Look at her. Look at her mourn. It is crazy. It's like, yeah, well, let me tell you why I want to be married again. I want to be married because I love having a partner, okay? And Ryan's my partner. And I feel like Dad and I were parents. And marrying Ryan changes nothing because I'm still a parent. And your dad's still a parent. So you see how that works? So I still love your dad. You know, I just don't want to speak to him or have him in my vicinity, but he feels like family for me, family that I hate. And I will always fight for that relationship with Dad, always, which I'm doing by marrying the man I cheated with him in a parking lot of Tamara's gym. So it's going to go great. She's like, please don't marry. I can't stand. I can't look at his teeth without hurting my eyes. Please, Mom.
It's just such a shitty trade because I'm finally prioritizing. I'm finally being prioritized in a relationship with a man who spends time with me and who's my best friend. And then I look at the collateral damage. This one over here, dum-dum next to me. Look at her crying.
This was so and crazy.
But she goes, look at the collateral damage.
And she just points at Everly, who's like sitting there crying.
It's like, look at it. Look at that collateral damage.
We had to postpone her first facial by 2 years because she couldn't stop crying. Oh, God. It's in these moments where I just feel like a failure. I mean, big old blubbery mess next to me. Can you even call yourself a success as a parent when you got this one next to you on national television? I don't think so.
Just like do I you think down. That your mom's a failure? And Everly's like, no, I don't think my mom's a failure at all. She says, yeah, well, it's just going to take some time to work on the confident answering. But thank you. Thank you so much, Everly. Thank you so much, CD.
Mom?
Collateral damage.
CD. You know, I just want to marry my best friend and show you the best version of your mom that may have some paint splattered on her face that was supposed to be going onto the denim. And I just want you to do that by my side, okay? But you're going to have to not cry at the wedding. Well, you can cry, but like happy tears, not collateral damage tears. You can do that, right?
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer
Messer. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Neat, it's Ronit Feldman.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.